Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Give the Lord a hand this morning. Not for the band, but for the Lord himself. And so glad that you are here. And okay, there we go. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, and they turn out the lights. And anyway, so we're just glad that you're here today. And why don't y'all just have a seat just for 30 seconds and just hear this blessing that is coming your way, is that he comes in the name of the Lord that makes a way for us, a path in the wilderness. That's John the Baptist. And so for us, Jesus came into the world for us that he would make a way for us, that we might have eternal life. And so that's what we're here to celebrate today. That's what we're here to give him worship and praise for. That's why we got up this morning, actually. And that was the calling on your life to be here, whether you knew it or not. But that's the purpose. That's why I'm here. That's why we do all of this. So if you're joining us online, we're so glad that you also have made the effort. And as we do, we're talking about this idea of being faithful. Now, I looked up the word faithful, right? Not two separate words, but faithful in the dictionary. Do you know what, in the fourth line, the fourth definition in the dictionary, it says faithful, and then the definition is this. It says, an obsolete understanding of being full of faith. Isn't that crazy? We've taken a word that has meant so much to us in the Christian faith for thousands of years, and we said the reason that we have this word is now obsolete in the world. I want to turn that around in our life. I don't know how we can change Webster's understanding of what faithful means, and I could really care less. But for us, it needs to be that we are full of the faith of Jesus Christ each and every day, and that we carry that out in the world. So I'm going to pray for us, and then let's just worship. I think it was Dallas, or actually Will. I don't know which one of y'all said it. We want to worship our face off. Who said that? That's you. I think it is. Worship your face off today, and then let's just watch what the Lord does in our life. Lord Jesus, I am so thankful. I'm excited to be here today, to be in your presence, to be in the midst of ministry that you are doing. Not that I'm doing in a sermon, not that Ashley's doing with the kids, not what Dallas does. It's all about you. And so that's why we're here. Lord, I want everyone to feel that excitement. I want everyone to have an understanding of that excitement, this advent of waiting for you to do something great in our lives. In the next 5 minutes or the next 5 days or 5 years, whatever it might be, we want to see you moving, even this morning at 10:40 a.m. We love you and we thank you, and we are going to praise you in the name of Christ. Amen. I don't think y'all are near excited enough about God being a miracle-working God, right? Come on now. So I know there are babies in this room that should not be here today, but by the miracle power working of God. I know there are lives in this room today that should not be here because of the miracle-working power of God. And so I really want us to just in that one thing, I don't know where Dallas wants to do that or where they want to start, but just the fact that we ask him to come and he came for us, the fact that he's come through for us time and time and time again, he deserves to know that we know that he's the miracle working power, that he's the one, not us. I know modern medicine is fantastic, but all good things come from God. Amen. I mean, every bit of all the things come from God. And so we want to know that, or he wants to know that we know, and I want to proclaim to him that he is the miracle power. So y'all be seated. I'm going to pray. It's going to be a little more interactive today. So if you just know right now that God has done a miracle in your life, whether it be physical healing, relational healing, it might be mental healing, it might be spiritual healing, it might just be the fact that that you are taking a breath today that you know you do not deserve, but just eyes closed and heads bowed. Don't be looking around the room to see who's going to participate or not participate. This is between you and God. Just lift a hand to the Lord and just acknowledge that the fact that you know that you are a walking miracle, that your marriage is a walking miracle, your child is a walking miracle. Maybe you yourself are a walking miracle. And Lord, just as you see these hands raised, just know that each and every one of these individuals, whether here in this room or whether online in this very moment or sometime in the future, Lord, they are recognizing the connection that we have with you, or that you are the way and there is no other. We got through to this day because of you. And Lord, we will get through the days to come. We will get through death itself because of the connection that we have with you, and that you have made a way, not just for us in this moment in life, but Lord, for all of eternity. God, there's so much to be excited about. There's so much to be thankful about, even in the midst of whatever's going on that's not good and not fun, not healthy, not right in our world. But yet you are the miracle-working God. There is no other. No other religion claims. We know the power. So Lord, for this room, for this gathering, over the internet or in this physical space, Lord, your spirit transcends all of that. Lord, I pray that you would touch every life. Lord, there are needs in this room. There are celebrations in this room. There are the establishment of new relationships, some new covenants that are being made. Lord, there are babies that are being formed. Lord, you are knitting a human life in the womb of some moms in this very moment. Lord, we know that you are working and moving. Lord, there are families that are dealing with death today. And Lord, I pray that you would show them your joy in the midst of the great reunion that's going on with you because of that loved one that has left us but that has joined you. Lord, we need to see you. Not just because it's Christmas season, we need to see you to have our faith filled. Lord, that we would be faithful and we would turn our belief into action. Lord, I make my prayer in the powerful and matchless name of the only one that matters, the name of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen, amen. I'm asking the Todd family, they're going to come up and light our second Advent candle today. And then Ashley's going to come up after that and talk to our kids.
In the second week of Advent, we consider our relationships with ourselves and with God. We ask, do I always appreciate the union of the divine Holy Spirit and the human that makes me who I am? Are we aware of the favor bestowed upon us by our Creator? Do we appreciate our talents, energies, personalities, and abilities to live out our faith to glorify God? In prayer and worship, are we in touch with the divine presence around us and in us?
Luke 3:2-6. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all of the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation.
Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, you who live within us, keep us always close to you. Help us to recognize and appreciate the life and opportunities that you have given us. Teach us to work for the glory of your Son, Jesus, and the good of others. Help us not to become stagnant in our faith by simply believing in you, but giving us opportunities and courage to be active for you. Keep our hearts and minds alert to your presence in every place in our lives. Amen.
Y'all know I have a sense of humor, right? Oh, some of you are laughing like, oh, this is going to be good. Just to let you know, we do teach your children practical biblical principles, but then also other principles like the children's ministry is apparently teaching your kids how to play dice. I think that's awesome. And where'd she go? There she is. I saw that last week. I said, that's fantastic. That is great. So during December, we are talking about this idea of being faithful and what does that mean for us and how does that work. And again, I think it's important that we talk about faith because, as I said last week, there were two times Jesus said that he was impressed, basically, and that was because of somebody's faith, how full of faith they were, but then also how empty people were of faith. Those were the two times where he said that he had this really outward expression of how he was pleased with people or how he was displeased with people, and that was in their faith. And now let me tell you that faith is not believing. Now I know the big theme of Christmas always is this idea of believe, right? Pinterest has made the word believe, made people thousands, if not hundreds, tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, a fantastic organization, one of their slogans and logos is just believe. And all that is good, except when it comes to Christianity, except when it comes for our faith in Christ. And I want to explain that to you because Jesus said, as we said, talked about last week, Jesus said, you believe in God, then believe also in me. But it goes beyond that. It goes to an act of what? How do we carry out our belief? How do we act upon our belief? How does our faith come to life in us and through us? And here's a simple illustration, okay? And so if believing were just enough, right? If believing were just enough, the fact that I believe that going to the gym and working out and exercising and jogging and eating the right foods, and I know the right foods I need to eat, and I know how to be healthy. If just believing were enough, then I would be on the cover of some men's magazine with at least not my shirt on. Amen? Okay? If believing were just enough, then diets would be non-existent, right? If believing were just enough, then action would not be required. It's not just about simply believing. It's about acting on our belief. And that's where our faith comes in, because our faith is that belief that we have. If you want the sermon notes today, I encourage you to text that the word notes to that phone number. You'll get those. You'll have that interaction on there as well throughout the week. And this idea of believing and being full of faith really is about our exercise of our belief, exercising how we live it out. And you know, let me give you one more example, one more illustration, that if you don't exercise the muscle, what happens to that muscle? It atrophies, it shrinks, it becomes less useful, it loses its strength, it becomes weaker over time and weaker and weaker and weaker. I see visiting people in the hospital over time, how the longer they stay in bed, the weaker they become. They could walk when they went into the hospital. That's not what their problem was. But after they spent weeks or months in the hospital, then they had to go to rehab, not for the condition that they went into the hospital for, but this new condition of getting their legs stronger again so they could live on their own again and go home. Faith is no different. If we do not exercise our faith, your faith in Jesus Christ, I believe with my whole heart. I see it. It's not anecdotal. It is true to life. I can prove it to you over and over again with people who are no longer in the church. Look around you, your friends or your family that are not here anymore, not because they moved on to another church or another town to go to school and to go to a new job and found a church there, because they are just not going anywhere. It's because they stopped exercising their faith. And that's a hard thing to say to people, but yet it really is true, because Jesus doesn't just call us to believe in him. He really does call us to follow him. That's the crux of the call in our life. It's not simply to believe, it's really to follow. And today I want to point this out as a foundational piece of our Christian faith. It really is about being active, and I want to go to Mary and Joseph and talk to you about why active faith really does get God's attention. Where when we are active, our faith intersects with His faithfulness and great things happen. And so I'm going to read to you out of Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one." Remember that, because I'm coming back to it. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I'm coming back to that. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called infertile is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed for her. See, Jesus, through the way God worked in Jesus' life, calls us to follow him. And Mary is one of our greatest examples of how following him really is active. Not just to sit and learn, but to actually do. I've said it for 2 years now. The last thing most of us need is more information about God. We don't need any more information. What we need is relation, and we need action. Because we know who God is. We know who Christ is. But what are we doing with it? How? Because that's going to be the transforming part. That's going to show the transformation in our life. And so what does that mean? Now, I know none of you want to compare yourself to Mary. Okay, and I know that's even weird for men to say because, well, she's a girl, I'm a boy. It's not that. Just compare her faithfulness. And especially if you are of the Catholic faith, that's the last thing you're going to do is compare yourself to Mary. But really, what we should be doing is looking at Mary and saying, what was going on in her life that can also be going on in mine so I can have that relationship with God and he can do great things in and through me as well. Because it can and it will happen if we are on task with what God has called us to do. Now, Mary was young. There's all sorts of speculation how young. I don't care. The very fact is that she was super young, and getting married and having a baby at that point was not necessarily in her plans. Okay, now she was, I shouldn't say married, because she was betrothed, she was engaged, she was thinking about getting married, but I mean, how many of you at a very young age, let's just go to whatever the speculation is, of like 13 years old, okay, 13, 8th grade, is that about right? Anybody want to get married in the 8th grade? No, anybody want to have a baby in the 8th grade? The men are going, absolutely not. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on. This is going to be tough, right? We don't even think about that. We don't even think about what that possibility might be. But yet, she's having to deal with that. And so what I want to talk about today is how to be faithful when life happens, okay? Because life is going to happen. And whether it's exactly the way you planned it or not, it is going to happen. And how do we remain faithful in the midst of all that that's going on in our life, in the lives of our family, in the life of our friends, in the life of our community? How do we remain faithful? Because there are things that can derail us. There are things that can knock us off track. And when that happens, I think if we do not have the faithful foundation of Christ, then not only do we get knocked off track, we are totally derailed and we don't know how to get back on. And I've seen it happen, and so have you. And here's the thing about being faithful. It's really about knowing ourselves and knowing God. It's about knowing who God is in us and about knowing who God is on His own. St. Augustine had a great prayer that basically, I'm not going to do it in his words because it's, you know, it's the these and the thous and all that. But for me, it's Lord Jesus, let me know myself and know you and desire nothing more than you. How many of you can pray that prayer honestly today? Not me, because I want a lot of things. And for me to know myself sometimes is a little scary, right? For me to be honest about who I am, not just to me, but to the Lord and to others, but to say, Lord, you are really the priority of my life. And once we do all of that, then that's where our faith and God's faith, though, start intersecting more and more and more and more and more until we are just really conjoined and we are with Him in all things. And it is a lifelong process. But here's what I know is that when God was talking to Mary through that angel, and when God talks to us, when God was talking to the disciples, I think here's what really happened. God knows what we're capable of. How many of you can sign up for that statement? But I always think God overestimates anything that I'm capable of. I think He overestimates my abilities every time He asks me to do something, every time He calls upon me, right? I mean, just think about it. Think about all the places in your own life. But let me go back to some giants in biblical history. How about Noah, build me an ark? I mean, the guy, I don't know what he knew or didn't know how to do, but I bet he'd never built a boat big enough to carry all the animals in the world on, two by two, right? How about Moses? Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I mean, Moses wasn't perfect, and he kind of had a problem, and he had several problems, and he didn't know what he needed to do. He didn't know how to do it, but yet God was calling him to do that, right? Let's just keep going. When you think about others in your, how about if you think about just for a second, how about all the stories of the disciples? Let's just go to a fast, easy one. Let's go to feed the 5,000. Hey, Lord, we have this little bit of food right here. Basically, we have a Lunchable, right? And there's a stadium full of people, and we need you to feed them. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. Slightly overestimating what they thought their capabilities were. And then for Mary, I don't know how you think about Mary, and not to be irreverent at all about who God calls to be His servants and how He uses them miraculously, especially Mary who He used to bring Jesus into the world. But, I mean, for Mary, had to really say, okay, Mary, she just said, okay, here I am. But did she really think I need to change diapers of the Savior of the world? Did she really think I'm gonna have to nurse and feed God, the Word made flesh? I'm gonna have to teach Him how to walk. I'm gonna have to teach Him how to talk. I'm gonna have to teach Him all the ways that God has taught me. I'm gonna have to learn how to be a mom. I'm gonna have to discipline Him. Joseph and I are gonna have to work all these things out. I mean, do you really think she thought that whole plan through and she said, okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do? I mean, Mary had to figure out if she was going to buy Jesus the brand name cereal like Cheerios, or whether she was going to buy him the, I don't know, what do they call the others, the Honey O's in the big package, right? Was she going to buy him the name brand sandals, or was she going to do like my granddad did for me one day while we were in Jibo's, and there was a pair of tennis shoes hanging on the rack by the checkout stand by the candy? Said, hey, you want to try those shoes on? I'm like, I'm not trying on tennis shoes from Jibo's, right? I mean, have you ever seen these shoes, by the way? This is going to be a side note. I mean, they have the big plastic zip tie on them, and you, when you put them on, you're kind of bound like this. You know, and my granddad says, walk around, see if you like them. I'm like, I can't walk around. What do you mean? Right? I mean, those are just things. Those are things that I don't think Mary ever thought about. And we want to think that God just did all that by himself, but he didn't. If he came to be just like us and live through us, then he had to be one of us in order for him to sacrifice himself so we could be with him, so we could have that human divine connection, that intersection, as I was talking about. And when she said that, I know, especially on the days when Jesus was crying, on the days that they didn't sleep through the night, on the days that he may have gotten a runny nose, or the days that he fell down, or the days that the kids were mean to him at school, or whatever it might be, that she thought, I did not sign up for this. But yet, life happened, and she remained faithful, because what builds our faith is when our actions intersect with God's plans. Because when our actions intersect with God's plans, we see God moving, we see success, we see things building in the kingdom, and those things energize me. I get excited about those things. Anybody ever play golf? How many of you would consider yourself a real golfer? I don't see any hands up in the room. Now, how many of you said you play golf? Do you know why you continue to play golf if you're not a real golfer? Because at least once in all of the times you ever played golf, you hit a John Daly drive that went so far you thought, man, I'm good. And you went back and you weren't good. But you kept remembering the one time. See, a little bit of that is how we work in our faithfulness to God is when we intersect and connect and we see what God's doing and say, I want to do that again. I want to work to be with God and to see what he's doing, and I want to come alongside of him, and I want that to happen again and again and again and again. And here's how we do it. It's because you, now this is going to be hard, you are exactly favored just like Mary was. 100%. Exactly. The same words are used for Mary that are used for us. You are favored by God. And I know that, again, you don't want to compare yourself, because maybe you might be scared of what God's going to want you to do in life if you are highly favored like Mary was. What's he going to ask me to do? But yet, even though it might be not what you planned, it's still going to be in his plan, and he's going to give you the grace to do it. He's going to give you the power to do it, because that's what this word means right here, this great Greek word that's used with Mary that the angel uses, right, to say that you are highly favored, is also used for us. I want to read it out of Ephesians 1, 6 through 10. To the praise of the glory of his grace, with which he favored us, with which he favored you in the beloved of Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings according to the riches of his grace. He lavished on us the same thing that he did for Mary. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. He set forth in him, Jesus, regarding his plan of the fullness of time to bring all things together in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. I'm going to say something right now that's going to blow your mind, or I hope it does, okay? This idea of he brought all things together in the heavens and the things on the earth for us to have an understanding, right? Regarding the fullness of the time. You have a better understanding of what God is doing in the kingdom and in the world than Mary ever did. Because we have Jesus. We have the hindsight. I know she got to grow up with Jesus, but she didn't really have the full knowledge that we have. Okay? She had the Holy Spirit, but she still didn't have the understanding that we have. We have the collective knowledge of all the inspiration of God and Scripture and all the people that at least a portion of the people that he interacted with. We have more. You have more. You have more capabilities. You have more power. You have more understanding. How about this? Where do you compare with Mary? Not in her specific actions, but in her faithful sickness. Where are you in that? Because I think that's the most fantastic news we could ever hear, that we have that same favor, that same high favor. You have that same favor. You have that same ability to be faithful when life happens. It's really about doing more. It's really about what you have inside of you. So here's your take-home analogy today. Okay? A can of paint. This can of paint is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's Valspar from Lowe's. I bet that's about $38 a gallon now. You have to take out a small loan to paint a room anymore, right? But your belief is like this paint. This does absolutely no good to your house. This absolutely has no transforming ability unless you take it out of the can and put it on your walls. Unless you take it out of the can and put it on your house. Unless you take it out of the can and actually use it. This is belief. Whatever it looks like out and around you is your faithfulness. Now that you can take home. That you can think about. That you can try to really process and understand. So when life happens, take it out of the can. Take it, I wish I had a physical Bible with me. Take it out of your Bible. Take it out of your head. Take it out of your heart and put it into your life. Put it in the life of your marriage, your children, your jobs. Put it in the life of your friends. Put it into the life of your frenemies. Put it into the life of your enemies. Put it in the life of your neighbors, strangers. Put it into life. Because when John the Baptist said that he was asking Jesus, worship team, you can come up. When John the Baptist was asking Jesus if he was the one that they were waiting for, if he was the Messiah, John the Baptist sent others to ask Jesus. And Jesus never said whether he was or he wasn't. What Jesus did was Jesus started acting. He started living out what was inside of him for them to see. It said that he made the blind see. He made the lame to walk. He cleansed the lepers. He set captives free. He cast out demons. He did all those things. It would be like me coming to ask Dallas a simple question, thinking that I could just get an answer just like that for us to have a conversation, for me to go back and relay the answer. No, they had to spend some time with him and see him do all of these things. He never said, "Tell John I'm the Messiah." He said, "Go back and tell John what you saw." And when John heard that, he knew that he was the Messiah. So when people see how you live your life, what do they know you're full of? Right? What do they know you're full of? When they hear that you're a Christian, what do they see? Lord God, today, as we come before you, Lord, once again, I think we are in just a fantastic place. We are in a new day, Lord. We're on the edge. We're on the precipice of something fantastic and new that you are about to do, at least in some of our lives, if not corporately, in all of our lives. Because we are in Advent. Not just for December the 25th Advent, Lord, but for the Advent of our lives, Lord, how you are going to come anew in my life and in other people's lives. And Lord, I know that you are already doing it. I've seen it. I've heard it. I'm so glad for that. Lord, let it become contagious and be in all of our lives, because we want to see you. We want to know you. We don't want to just believe. We want to be faithful, and we want to act out our faith in the world. Lord, that's my prayer for each and every person, Lord, give us the opportunity this very week, Lord, put someone or something in our life, some opportunity, Lord, to transmit our belief into action, to show and tell somebody who you are as we live it out. In the name of Jesus Christ, let this prayer come true. Let this prayer come to life. Let this prayer come to action. And all the people said, if you agree with it, if you're ready for it, if you really do expect it, then you stand in agreement with me with that prayer for yourself and everyone else. And just say amen 3 times. Amen and amen. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.